Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I would like to read to you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hitchcock at the very beginning when he started. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show them how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. The message is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking to you about the bread of life. I believe that God's word is essential for life, and He is speaking all the time. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, starting in verse 10, I'm reading to verse 13. This is Isaiah 55 and verse 10. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where it was sent to do." Isaiah 55 verse 12. "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, thou shalt not be cut off." Based on this scripture here in Isaiah, we see several points. God's living word is the reason all mankind has food to eat every day. And everyone on this earth has enough. He is the Heavenly Father. God is not the problem. In the last days, man will refuse to repent. And the book of Revelation says that many will die of hunger in that time. The world may then understand the design in God's creation, that it was made perfectly at the start. He has always provided for the needy and made sure there is enough food on the earth. Man keeps changing God's order and adjusting the cycle God uses because of greed. The psalmist wrote of man's wisdom on this earth. In Psalm 82, starting in verse 3, to 8, he says, "Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy." Verse 4, "Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked." Verse 5, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course." Verse 6, "I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Verse 7, "But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes." Verse 8, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, and thou shalt inherit the nations." For example, strip farming was a method used long before pesticides. It prevented soil erosion and allowed spiders to make webs between strips to catch flying insects and larvae attacking the crops. The hedges in between would also put some nutrients back into the soil as well. every creature and every plant has a job to do on the earth. Strip farming had a much healthier yield before pesticides came along. But man wanted to grow larger quantities of produce, draining the soil, being more dependent on fertilizers and pesticides instead. God has created all the animals to do something to bring glory to God. Man was supposed to listen to God before changing the balance of creation. Man has only recently discovered that bees play a vital part in fertilizing plants before destroying their natural habitat and network as well. When God speaks something into being, he is sowing his seed to fulfill his perfect will on the earth. And we can be a part of it. His plan is for the earth to be perfect and heavenly and for everyone to have enough. In Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." If we let him use us, this will bring glory to him as well. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty." Verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding us as a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." When you start something in the kingdom of God, you are not afraid because you are led by the Spirit. Isaiah 55:12 says, "You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace." Paul said in Romans 14 and 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." He cannot use those who are not willing to be led by the Spirit. God will only use those who are prepared, available, and willing. Paul says in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Even the mountains and the hills will sing because creation knows that you are more than a conqueror when you are in Christ, doing his perfect will. You do not have to tell the branches to clap their hands. Paul says in Romans 8:21 and 22, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Romans 8:22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." The whole of creation is ready to serve his children who are living, controlled by the Spirit. Creation will not serve the devil. Paul warned us that the flesh is the problem. Galatians 5 and 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You need the living word to be sure that you have the right motive so that you do not end up justifying another way that seems right and serve the kingdom of darkness instead. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Through regular repentance, you will not perish or be cut off when Jesus is functioning as Lord of your life. Also, the more you change, the more life flows through you as well. All of this is available in Christ. not when you're in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Jesus paid the price for everyone to have eternal life, so that they could be born again by the Spirit and hear His voice and do His will, ready for His appearing and His kingdom to come. Reading in the Amplified Bible, we read this in John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on Him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal or everlasting life." Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's prize or jewel, and He is coming to collect His prize. This includes you. You are more than just a number. You are worth more than to Jesus than all the heavens. Paul said in Romans 5 and 8, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You have been given the gift of eternal life, and it's defined here by Jesus Christ. This is found in John 17, verses 1 to 3. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." And verse 3 says this. This is John 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." God sent a challenge a long time ago to His own chosen people. Now all those who are born again need to respond to this by faith. Found in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24. "But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we are not going to do this in the flesh. And this would not bring glory to God. The mind is limited, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In the beginning of chapter 9 in Jeremiah, we read that the Jews were rebellious. God says this in Jeremiah 9, starting in verse 1 to 3. "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Verse 2. "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place, a wave of wayfaring men, where I might leave my people and go for them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." Verse 3. "And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." People die before their time, not because of God's judgment, but because of the flesh. Paul says it like this in Galatians 6, 7 and 8. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." God says in Ezekiel 18 and 23, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" The body of Christ faces the same challenge today, to depart from iniquity and get to know him. Many have become rebellious and will not accept the narrow way and try to serve two masters instead. Everyone wants the bread of life, but they also want to be Lord of their own lives at the same time. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 16:25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." The church today has its own fast food teachings based on one verse taken out of context to give a little bit of encouragement so that people can keep on doing what they want to do and not feel uncomfortable. It's more like a temporary solution for depression or uncertainty rather than living in his glorious kingdom now. God used Elijah to wake up the Israelites trapped in their rebellion and unbelief. In 1 Kings 18 and 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt thee between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." The Jews were rebellious, but they did not answer Elijah. This was a silent rebellion. The Bible says Elijah is coming again to wake up the Jews in the last days and give them a chance to repent. Joseph Hedgecock explains in chapter 12 of his book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on page 209. He says, this is the truth. If you are not walking close to where you should be, you are and have been in rebellion. It is a silent rebellion because you actively participate in the ministry, but you will not do what God says. Instead, you choose to listen to Satan and yield yourself to obey him and his lies rather than obey God and his truth. John said in 1 John 5:11, I'm reading from verse 11 to verse 13. Verse 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Verse 13, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." John is writing this to the church to help the church believe on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the authority of Jesus. You cannot have the authority of Jesus in your life unless Jesus is Lord of your life. Why would he give you authority just to do what you want? First, you have to use what you've been given and get to know and understand him by grace through faith. Time is running out. If you believe on the name of Jesus, you don't do anything without first asking him. Jesus is the bread of life. So you'll not have life unless you hear his voice. Jesus said in John 14 and 6. This is John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What evidence do you have in your life that you belong to Christ? You cannot claim that Jesus is your first love because you're born again. You only have the Son if the Son also has you. He has to be Lord of your life first. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 14, this is Matthew 7, 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are you on that narrow way right now? Paul said in Galatians 5 and 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Are you getting ready to be married to Christ? Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter said you need to be diligent to be found in Christ when he comes. Will you be in Christ or will you be in the flesh? Only those who are making no excuses and seeking God will be ready. Paul said in Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus can sanctify and cleanse you with his word, but not if you resist correction and the truth and his lordship. If you resist, then how can he present you without those spots and blemishes? It's your responsibility to submit to correction if you want him to present you as part of his glorious church. He will not present you if you are trying to present yourself. Let him be Lord of your life now. Paul said in Romans 4 and 8, blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. With the grace of God, you can do anything. Everything is possible by grace, but even grace runs out if you do not get understanding and learn. This was the purpose of grace. And Paul explained how to stop sinning. In Galatians 5:16, he says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus is offering you the bread of life now, but it requires following him. He said in John 6 and verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's not enough to be born again. John says in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he that loves knows not God, for God is love. If you lack the ability to love God at any time, you are not connected to God, who is love itself. Even if you do connect now, will you stay in him? If you just connect now and again, then you are a foolish virgin and be left behind. The only one who can really love are the ones who are born again and know God now. You now have a gift to get to know and understand him. But this is not using your mind. Webster has given the following definition, and there are 12 points. Number one, to have just and adequate ideas of, to comprehend, to know as to understand a problem, to understand a proposition or a declaration. Number two, to have the same ideas as the person who speaks or the ideas which a person intends to communicate, to understand the preacher, the court, perfectly, and understand the advocate or his argument. Number three, to receive or have the ideas expressed or intended to be conveyed in a writing or a book, and to know the meaning. It's important that we should understand the sacred oracles. Number four, to know the meaning or signs or of anything intended to convey ideas, as to understand a nod, a wink, or a motion. Number five, to suppose to mean. The most learned interpreters understand the words of sin. Number six, to know by experience. Number seven, to know by instinct. Number eight, to interpret at least mentally. Number nine, to know another's meaning. Number ten, to hold an opinion with conviction. Number 11, to mean something without expressing. Number 12, to know what is not expressed. In the last days, there will be a famine of the hearing of God's word. And we are in those last days now. There is a scarcity because God is not going to go on anointing hypocrites who are not walking consistently in the light, who are teaching error. In Amos 8:11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." This is not a famine of the preaching of the word of God. Even now there is an abundance of teachings in the last days. Preachers today present promises and teach half-truths that do not require self-denial and his lordship, and therefore they are liars. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You cannot get to know God with sin in your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." You should hate every false way, including the prosperity gospel that is not founded on making Jesus functional Lord and departing from iniquity. There is no healing without real repentance from sin. Paul said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What is the point in getting healed if later you end up in hell? If you have not put away the flesh and stopped sinning, then you are in danger and you need to get your priorities right. Jesus said in Matthew 18:9, "If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life than with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire." You cannot sin when you're in the Spirit and obeying the Spirit. So if you have not stopped sinning, you are still a foolish virgin. In the book of Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You may not call evil good, but you may claim you are living in the light when actually you're living in darkness and deceiving others. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 6, if you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you lie and do not do the truth. Also, John said in 1 John 2 and verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10, this is 1 John 2 and verse 10. He says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, knowing not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you continue to spiritualize the actions of the flesh and claim you are hearing God when you are not able to speak the truth in love, then you are blind. If you're only hearing God in words and knowledge and ministry, and you're in danger too, Jesus said. Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those who work iniquity keep making excuses for their disobedience, and they do not love the truth. Jesus said in John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I believe in the last days, there will be a famine of hearing the truth. However, Jesus said in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 4 on page 27, 28, and 29. Again, the word must be rightly divided, interpreted by the Holy Spirit, not by myself or any other man. 2 Peter 1:20 says, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. John 10:27 is one of the first scriptures God showed me when he revealed this teaching to me. I did not want to be a hypocrite and guess at what God wanted me to do. I knew he had to speak to me in order for me to have a command to obey. God spoke to the people in the Bible, and he's not a respecter of persons. Acts 10, verse 34. Therefore, it had to be possible for him to speak to me. If I was going to serve God and obey him, I had to be able to hear his voice and be led by his spirit, because I was one of his sheep. I should be able to hear him speak to me. And with that attitude of faith, God began to speak to my heart even then. John 18 and verse 37, the second part, says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is another scripture which confirms that God's children, those who are of the truth, should be hearing his voice. If you have the truth in your heart, you should be hearing the Lord. The main reason I hadn't heard the Lord's voice before was because I had believed a lie all of my life. I believed that you couldn't hear God. Some of you do not hear him for the same reason. When you start believing the truth, you will start hearing God. You don't have to understand the truth to accept it. Amos 8:11 says, there will be a famine of hearing the word of God. And in the last days, we're in that time now. But God will feed those who are hungry for him. This message contains both milk and meat. It is the bread of life for God's hungry children. Instead of experiencing famine, God intends for us to feast on his abundance. James says, in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where does everything really come from? God spoke to Job this. This is in the book of Job, chapter 38. I'm starting from verse 1. I'm reading verse 7. This is Job chapter 38. Verse 1 says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, verse 2, who is that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Verse 4, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. We know the world is in his hands. Job was going through some challenges. And in Job 42, he answers. This is Job 42, verses 1 to 6. And then Job answered the Lord and said, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withheld from you. Verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful me, which I knew not. Verse 4, hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Verse 5, I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. When Jesus comes on this earth and sets up his rule on the earth for 1,000 years, there will be no sickness, no suffering as a result of sin. The earth will be turned into a paradise in a short time. God will not use any special powers. He will just use his word and his laws. Jesus is the bread of life, so the earth and the world will actually come to life and be run the way he intended. It will be a paradise for all to see. Even those in hell and in heaven will see it. And at that time, the attention will be on the earth. The psalmist said in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Those who mock God and say that God allowed suffering, and because of this he cannot be loved, will be silent. They will see the truth and see what is really causing suffering and get understanding. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Everyone will see his wisdom in action, but they will not have a chance to repent. Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. The world, with all their ability and gifts and knowledge and technology, could not discover one thing, and that is that man is the problem. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some coveted after, and they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Man will see that unnecessary suffering could have been prevented on the earth by following his laws. Then they will face the judgment. And Paul said it like this in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth." Verse 11. "And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hallelujah. Even those under the earth and those above the earth are going to see Jesus reigning. Even the devil will confess that Jesus is Lord as he is cast into the lake of fire with all his followers. And those who are proud will see how God is not the problem, and that God did the right thing even when mankind was in rebellion. The whole world will be humbled, but it will be too late to humble yourself. There will not be time or any chance to repent or work out your salvation and be ready. Paul continues in Philippians 2 and 12 and says this, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." The Bible talks about Jesus' kingdom coming when it says this in the book of Isaiah 9 and 7. It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Also in the Gospels, we read in Luke 1 and verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." When Jesus is in charge, there will be a different system of government. There will be no voting, and all the rulers of the earth will be meek. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The proud man will not be found. Jesus said in Luke 14, 11, "For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." Also, the ones in leadership will be those who first learned how to serve. We read in the Gospels in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. "And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" In verse 2. "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them." Verse 3, "And said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not in any way enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as the little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." At creation, Adam named all the animals because he let God use him. And he had just been created. In the kingdom of God now, we also have to become like little children. Jesus said, Matthew 23 and 11, But he that is greatest among you shall be the servant. The authority in the kingdom will be given to those who have learned how to serve. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 22 and 26, But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that the chief, he that does serve. Jesus described those who will rule in the kingdom in the parable of the talents. In Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other more 5 talents. Verse 17. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. Verse 18. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Those who are faithful will be given more, and those who act in wickedness will be brought to nothing and cast outside. We read in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 24, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou had not sown, gathering where thou had not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to the one which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and to him shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I hope you're looking forward to this time when justice rules on the earth for 1,000 years. This will be God's answer to the unrighteous who mock God, and those who are righteous will shine. But the kingdom of God is here now. And Paul continued his teaching by saying in Philippians 2 and 13, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. By listening to the Holy Spirit, you can do his perfect will now. Many are lazy and do not want to learn to hear his voice. Instead, they just want God to write everything down and tell them what to do. But God gave the law to Moses, and even the Jews, including the rest of mankind, could not obey. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. This is God speaking. In verse 8 he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is on a different level to you and me. Repent if you think you can understand him with your mind. You're in pride if you believe that you can use your mind to understand the things of God. Even if God told you what to do, you would mess it up. You would start by raising money and gathering things that you think you need for yourself and miss more important things needed to obey. You would also fail because you are starting from the beginning and you cannot see all the issues. But God starts at the end. He says in the book of Isaiah 46 and 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." So when God is building, he starts with the finished event and goes back in time to the beginning to put in place whatever is necessary to ensure that his will is done. You can learn obedience by following him. If you read in the book of Revelation, this is the back of the book, you will see that those who live in the kingdom of God now will win. Jesus said in Revelation 7 and 16 and 17, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Verse 17, "For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." The devil can read this too, but there is nothing he can do about it. The devil will lose. God has a plan for your life. He's put everything in you to fulfill that plan already. You have the right strengths and also the weaknesses in areas where you need to rely on him, because the path is very difficult. God's ways are not man's ways. He makes you weak where you need to be strong. He is not going to give you understanding until you learn to trust in him. Otherwise, you're going to mess it up. The best way to live is described here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not your own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Hallelujah. I've seen many others walk away from the Lord without getting regular conviction they need from anointed messages. I've experienced the truth with hard love and also with truth said more softly from my authority. On my first few visits to the ministry, the messages were informative, but these became more urgent over time. In the kingdom, there are easy lessons and harder lessons. And if you learn all the easy lessons at the start and do not deal with the flesh, then you will end up getting all the hard lessons all at once. Jesus said, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've been through some challenging times in life. I do not intend to repeat those situations and be like the children of Israel, going around and around, learning the same lesson over and over in the wilderness. The only hindrance for anyone entering the promised land is the flesh. It is possible to kill the flesh and keep it dead. Paul says in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Killing the flesh is a lesson many prefer to leave to sometime later. But tomorrow never comes. And they actually believe it's not possible to kill the flesh, or that it's very hard, or that it will only happen to a few special people at the very end of your life, not without some suffering either. This is all unbelief based on the devil's lies. The truth is that you only resist the lesson of killing the flesh because you still love this world. For the sake of your spiritual inheritance, you may have to go through some tough things that were completely unnecessary, but only because you resisted God and His timing. God loves you. And my job as the preacher is to try and warn you of the consequences of the flesh and sin. Jeremiah 17 and 7 says this, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. If you are not trusting God with all your heart, then He will eventually let you reap what you've been sowing to break your stubborn will. You will eventually understand that God did not do evil to you, but God can use the difficulty so that you turn to Him daily. This is not God putting sickness or disease on you, but He can also heal you completely. The psalmist says in Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Before my salvation, God was the one actually holding back all the consequences of sin to give me a chance to repent. However, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is now the one holding back the fulfillment of the promises of God until I use what I know and come to repentance. Paul says it in Hebrews 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do if God permit. Those promises will not work until I meet the conditions and have the right foundations. God cannot give me anything more until I become a doer of the word. James said, In James chapter 1 and verse 22. I'm reading from verse 22 to 25. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God is not slow. The truth is, you are slow. Slow means a lack of quickness. You have to start by learning what he wants you to learn first. People today want everything instantly. And James says in James 1 and 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Are you getting angry? I hope my messages are confronting and expose the sin you need to deal with now. Then you can come to repentance and live. The old hymn says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The only way to run your life is not by looking, instead by listening. Just trusting and obeying the voice of God, and he will take care of the rest. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Verse 34. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. Verse 37, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and he that believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is the bread of life, and if you are really eating the bread, then number one, you have come to him because you know you need him. Number two, you have lost sight of this world and just want to do his perfect will. Number three, the things of the world are of little importance to you. Number four, you have everlasting life and you can hear his voice. And number five, by doing his perfect will, you are abiding in the kingdom now. He is not just a healer. He knows every step that is right for you now. Life is not possible without him directing every step of your life. Joseph Hedgecott says, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what you need to know now. You should not be afraid to let go of any teaching or doctrine. If you believe the truth, then it will come back to your mind because the Spirit of truth lives in you. If Jesus is your Lord, then he will direct you to truth by the Spirit. The Jews should have recognized the Messiah, but they did not. In John 6 and verse 41, we read, I'm reading from verse 41 to 45. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven. Verse 42. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I come down from heaven? Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, every man thenceforth that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The bread of life will change your life forever. He is transmitting his perfect will for everyone so they can enjoy life, be kept safe, prosper, and grow. You know the safest place is to be in his perfect will. Jesus taught his disciples like this. He said in Matthew 6, starting in verse 9 to 13, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt against us. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Many believers think it's impossible to do something without food, money, and somewhere to live. But Jesus said, Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And again, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Again, he says it in Luke 12 and 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, and what you shall put on. Jesus also said to the rich young man in Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Verse 22. And he was sad at this saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Your salvation will stagnate and never be completed if you have the wrong focus in this world. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. People are always thinking about their lives on this earth. Put God last. Since you accepted Christ, you should have an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit. If you've really been working out your salvation, do you believe that Jesus is the bread of life? Jesus said in John 12 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. to enjoy the bread of life, you have to shut down that carnal nature by not consulting your mind. God knows everything, and your needs can be met by asking Him. Jesus again said to His own disciples who were clinging to Him, in John 16:24, "Hereto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy may be full." Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "But My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The psalmist said in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. Stop trying to work things out. Paul said in Hebrews 4:10, "For he that is entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own labors as God did from his." Do you believe that God will take care of you when you cease from your own labors? Or are you clinging to this world? When the trouble comes, it will show who you are clinging to and trusting in. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, 25, and 26, "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of Mine and does them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which hath his house upon a rock." Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that hears these sayings of Mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." The definition of prosperity in the New Testament is given, I think, in the book of James. I'm reading from the book of James, chapter 1, from verse 2 to 4. In verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." When you get to a place of wanting nothing, this means you are no longer seeking anything in this world. The devil cannot tempt you. This is God's definition of prosperity. Even the rich are still seeking something in this world, even though they have money. John says in 3 John 1:2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, he said, "Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father which art in heaven." Jesus is the bread of life, but that does not mean just accepting Jesus as your Savior. It means accepting Jesus as your Lord. Then He will be your Savior. Arthur Burt would say, "The greater includes the lesser." If He's Lord of your life, then He will save and deliver you, and He will feed you and give you a fulfilled life. You can make a fresh start right now. But time is short. God is love. But if you choose to believe a lie and follow the lust of the flesh, you will reap the consequences. Jesus gave this parable about the prodigal son in Luke 15:14-18. "And when he had spent all, there was a severe and mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Verse 16. And he would faint and have filled his belly with the husks and that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. His word should cause a complete change in your life. Jesus said in John 15, verses 1, starting in verse 1 to verse 8. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. And I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abideth not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You cannot claim to have the bread of life without daily ongoing repentance from sin, following Jesus with fruit proof. If you do not have the fruit of the Spirit, how can you be sure you are really in his kingdom? You need to repent of the fact that you do not trust him, and that is why he is not Lord of your life, producing the right fruit. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. If you want to have a fulfilled life, hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgott. If you want to make a fresh start, then first get off that broad road. Make the decision now to start on the narrow path with daily and regular repentance. Then I recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure you get on and stay on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction. Looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church or on this road. I want to recommend the book Guilted Prison by Joseph Hitchcock. The revised edition is now available in English. This book will help you to recognize those who are deceived and see how to get off the broad road yourself. Hallelujah. This message has really blessed you today, and you know that God has been speaking to you about him being the source. How many things have you done yourself, and you have accused God of doing them? Satan has been making a fool out of you. Jesus is the bread of life. That means everything good comes from him. That's what we've been studying today. And if you have accused God of doing something bad in your life, please repent now. Ask God to forgive you. All that unnecessary suffering, all the things that have taken place in your life, They were not from God. They were from you, reaping what you've been sowing. Ask God to forgive you right now. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I know there are dear ones listening to this message. And today you've been speaking to them about your perfect will, that perfect plan, because you are the bread of life. And you want them to cling to you, trust in you, rely on you for everything, for food, for clothing, for everything they need in life. Truly, you are the bread of life. And Father, if there's anyone here willing to repent and admit that they have taken over, taken control, and messed up that plan that you have been doing in their lives, Father, forgive them right now. Give them a fresh start. As they humble themselves and they read these books and they turn to you, come to you, as your word says, you will give them rest. I pray for them that will truly humble themselves in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you've been listening and the message has touched your heart, you want to get in touch with the ministry, there are details that follow. We'd love to hear from you and know that this message has changed your life completely. In Jesus' name, amen.